second level schools?
If we're talking about National College of Physical Education, Dolma College, absolutely yes, it was about innovation. For example, we were teaching what later on became geography, which of course is the same term used in the school syllabus. We didn't have it in those early days. We had a thing called social and environmental studies. So there were a few catchphrases, two concepts that sound the same, but they're quite different. We had multidisciplinary and we had interdisciplinary. And that's how things were to be done. So instead of, let's just take a small example, instead of talking about, let's say, the famine as something that had political causes, and a chronology, and as it might have been taught in a traditional historical curriculum, we forced ourselves to see it as something with a whole geographical spatial dimension. We began to look at theories of government in relation to it. We were certainly emphasising the social as being more important than the political, or at least as important as the political. So certainly the idea of looking at a particular issue from a number of different angles was very much there. And yes, we did hope that this would influence the curriculum in the schools. So those two phrases, I want to emphasise that. We rarely had a meeting where those notions of interdisciplinarity and multidisciplines. Like we had an anthropologist on the staff. What was he teaching? He was heavily involved in the teaching of Irish. And he related the whole question of language and language change back to the study of very specific sociolinguistic societies and communities. So that was a good thing. Certainly it wasn't what, we'll say, the Department of Education inspectors wanted, but that's what was done. The other thing that had a huge influence, and I'd like to emphasise it, was the influence from abroad, or at least from England, of the Open University. The Open University was, by any measure, one of the great success stories of the 1960s and 70s. And from our point of view, the Open University had produced a wonderful set of textbooks and distance education manuals and so on. They were cheap, they were hugely attractive. They had a very strong, say in a history text or manual, there was a very strong pedagogic or cognitive basis for it. They were using words like learning outcomes, so it wasn't just about the Industrial Revolution, it was about structure, about form, and about how you could understand underlying patterns and principles. So this was, in comparison with the sort of history I had learnt in UCD, for example, this was hugely innovative. There was a professor, just speaking about my own subject, history, there was a professor of history at the Open University, Arthur Marrick. And Marrick was hugely important. He, I think, revolutionised the teaching of history in England, and we latched into that. I remember an external examiner, a distinguished medievalist from UCC, Cork, came and was examining our end of year student work, and he was an old friend of mine. He had taught me in UCD, and I remember him saying, "I notice when I go, as I go through the student essays and coursework and scripts, I notice a very strong influence of the Open University coming through. And if I may say so, it's not an entirely welcome influence. And I remember being secretly very pleased with that. I thought it was hugely welcome, and I thought it was an attempt. And the Open University supplied wonderful film, for example, and resources. So the sort of thing that would never, ever be used in a conventional university classroom. So we used as much of this as we could.